Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Please be seated in the house. We have a couple of people helping us here in the studio. Thank you, music ministers. You guys are amazing. You guys are wonderful. Thank you, our ministers at the back. Thank you for helping us. Thank you. Thank you. And thank you for joining us, everyone who is joining us online tonight. We're super excited about the opportunity to be able to have this convention like we've never had it before. This is Open Heavens 2020, and we've never really done it this way before. And something tells me God is going to do some things he has never done before in the lives of his people. Amen. Amen. So I'm just going to ask you, wherever you are, thank you for joining us. I'm going to ask you to make room. We've worshiped the Lord. I want you to make room for the Word of God. We're going to go into the Word of God. I know that the Lord has some very powerful things that he wants to say to us. I'm very excited about it. Hallelujah. I've never quite preached it like this before. And some of the things you may hear, I don't like the expression blow your mind, but you know it's a figure of speech, right? Just means it may just, you know, it may be way off, way out there, like way out there. But I do believe that the Lord wants to do some way out there things for a lot of his people. Amen. So I hope you have your Bibles. I won't be doing too much of teaching or preaching or anything. I'm going to just prophesy to you as the Lord has given it to me, and as he gives me the liberty to do tonight and by God's grace on Sunday as well. Amen. For your shame, you shall have double. For your shame, you shall have double. Somebody say with me, for my shame, I shall have double. Amen. Do you have my Noah photo? If you're at home, you probably see that before. Oh, everybody will see that. Tonight we have our monitors. Everything is working. Glory to God. Amen. And even on this pulpit, man, it's so sharp and so clear. Thank you so much, Pastor Emmanuel. God bless you. If you are, I don't have a lot of time to give you a preamble of this photo history, but if you joined us for our Father's Day service just last Sunday here, this was the photo that I started the service with. And earlier this week, after that service, by some strange sequence of events, the Lord had me meet Noah and his mom. And supernatural. There's no way in the natural that could have happened. Supernatural. And we shared the photo. I showed it to them on my phone, and you know, they had the thing right there in front of their home. And I cut the long story short. You know, the Lord gave me an opportunity to minister to them, to this mother and 11-year-old boy. And as I walked away thinking to myself, Lord, you do have a sense of humor. The Lord said to me, this is not
just about a sense of humor. So that is a confirmation of everything I've put on your lips to speak this weekend. For as many as will receive it, for as many as will have sufficient faith within their hearts to believe it, to accept it, every word, God says, I guarantee, every word will be fulfilled in their lives. So wherever you are joining us from, it's just a photo. But the Lord used that photo. Now he says it's double. He said it's double. So that's confirmation for our weekend, for Open Heavens. But he said, I also wanted to minister to that family, he said to me. He said, I also wanted to minister to that family. And as I walked away, mother and son looking at me like they had seen a black angel for the first time in their lives, going, oh, ooh, oh, ooh, oh. And Noah was especially, he was supercharged after he heard that our services were actually streamed online. He thought, wow, I'm an internet sensation. But the Lord said, I wanted to minister to that family. So it was a double miracle, a double blessing. Only God knows in Noah's life what the Lord will use that one-time encounter to do in his future. And I declare to you tonight, only God knows what a service like this, wherever we are, all over the world, as we gather together around the Word of God, and as we give Him audience, and as we open our hearts, and we open our ears, and we open our eyes, only God knows what a service like this could accomplish in your future. That's not the only supernatural thing that happened to me this week. Actually, this past night, there is a family that I haven't thought about for so many years. I haven't really heard about them. But earlier on, in the early years of our ministry, maybe almost 20 years ago, this family, I would say, this particular couple played a very prominent role in helping us find our feet in the ministry, especially after we started our church ministry, Abundant Life. And a sequence of events, different things happened in their lives, and the enemy attacked, and so many different things, and very, very blessed family. But all sorts of things happened, and endured attacks and things to the point where they weren't even as public as they used to be for many years, weren't prominent. And this night, the Lord brought their image to me and said to me, in the next 2 years, is what he said, in the next 2 years, I would restore everything in their lives, the glory in their lives and in their future. In their future. He says, I will put it all together and I will make them an example of what I'm speaking through you tonight. But he said it's not just that family. That family is an example of a group of believers who saw to it, who took it upon themselves to see to it that the candle of God will not go off on the tabernacle of God's vision. They saw to it that the candle of God will not be snuffed out on the tabernacle of God's vision. And he said, there are so many of my people all over the world who have played prominent roles in individual lives, in visions, in the kingdom of God, in corporate lives, in families, to make sure that the candle I put upon those people are not snuffed out. And he said, in 2 years' time, a lot of those believers will not recognize themselves by virtue of what I will do in their lives.
Oh, when I heard that, I said, Lord, I receive that. Lord, I count myself as one of them. I don't know where I've done that, but Lord, I claim that and I receive it. And I hope you can claim that wherever you are as well. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Let's go into the word of God in Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah chapter 61 and from verse 3. It says, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that these people may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, so that God may be glorified. So that God may be glorified. Even from that scripture, I want you to notice right there, I want you to notice what is constantly at stake in your life and in mine is the glory of God. What is constantly at stake in your life and in mine, from the very beginning, from the Garden of Eden, what is constantly at stake in our lives is the glory of God. Why? Because we were created for His glory. We were created for His glory. When He created us, He crowned us with glory and honor. He crowned us with glory and honor. We are instruments of His glory. Every child of God, every creation of God who finds its place in the divine assignment that God gives to them, you are an instrument of His glory. But if you look in there in that scripture, it says to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. These mourners are not outside of the church. They are in Zion. And these mourners, one of the expressions of the glory that has been stripped away from them is the mourning. The mourning. The mourning is an expression of the glory that has been stripped away. It says to give unto them beauty for ashes. These people, this word ashes in the Hebrew actually means dust. You know, the expression to be covered with ashes in the Old Testament usually actually happens, is one of the highest levels of shame. It's one of the highest levels of embarrassment, humiliation. You go study it out, especially in the Old Testament. I know usually we think of ashes in terms of, you know, something's burned down. That's one of it. But actually in the Old Testament, a lot of times, these ashes represents dust covering the head of someone that should be glorified. And then it talks about the spirit of heaviness. The spirit of heaviness. See, all of these track back to the same root as shame. And notice there, he says that he's going to do all that he says he's going to do so that God can be glorified. Because he's not glorified through the ashes. He's not glorified through the mourning. He's not glorified through the spirit of heaviness. So he's committed to changing all of that for his people. He's committed to translating all of that. He's committed to rewriting that story. Amen. The Lord may rewrite your story this weekend. We may be calling you a different name by the time this weekend is over from the one they were calling you by the time you came in tonight. Hallelujah. He said they will build the old waste places. Notice waste. This waste does not exhibit the glory of God. Waste generally means a wilderness, something that is not inhabited, something that is not beautiful, something that is not glorious.
He said they will raise up former desolations, abandonments, dreams that have been abandoned, hopes that have been quit on. Do you know, child of God, your hopes and your dreams are actually a direct expression of the glory of God? Because you were created to hope. You were created to dream. Hallelujah. The candle of God on the tabernacle of God's people ensures that the light of God transmits through their lives so that they can create a future like God created the earth. That's what dreams are. And he talks about desolations. But he says they will raise up these desolations. They will repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. Some of these abandonments, some of these destructions, and some of these abandoned dreams, abandoned hopes, are even they track by generation. That generation after generation have the same destiny. Generation after generation have the same destiny. The same destiny of hopelessness. The same destiny of dead and abandoned, aborted dreams. The same destiny of life in ruins. Generation after generation after generation. I want you to notice that from the very beginning of times, what was really at stake in the Garden of Eden was the glory of God. What was really at stake in the Garden of Eden was the glory of God. Because after Satan did what he did, even though, you know, the Lord said, the day you eat of it, you will die. We know he didn't die naturally. He died spiritually, because that means death simply means separation from your source of life. So by virtue of what Satan did to Adam and Eve, they became separated from their source of life. But I don't want you to lose sight of this as we get into this evening, this weekend. I don't want you to lose sight of the fact that really what was at stake in the Garden of Eden was the glory of God. Hallelujah. Can you do this for a minute? Close your eyes. Close your eyes and imagine Adam and Eve being shooed out of the Garden of Eden with ashes on their heads. God didn't put those ashes. They put the ashes. Out of their shame and embarrassment, a place called paradise that was prepared for them, they were ejected from it without notice. Do you know what was at stake? Open your eyes. Do you know what was at stake in the Garden of Eden? It was the glory of God. It was the glory of God. The Bible says in the 8th Psalm, he said, what is man? The angels looked at God and they looked at the way God created man and they looked at the glory that God put upon man. And the Bible says, the angels said, what is man that you are mindful of him? In the 8th Psalm. In the 8th Psalm. He said, because he crowned him with glory and honor. When God created Adam and Eve in the garden and placed them, he crowned them with glory and honor. Do you know you are an instrument of the glory of God? Your life, every aspect of your life was meant to radiate the glory of God. Hallelujah. That's the essence of your creation. The essence of your creation is not death or life. Because if you are a believer and you die tomorrow, you go to heaven. That's never at stake. What is constantly at stake in the lives of God's people is the glory of God. That God created us for his glory. And from the very beginning of times, Satan has made up his mind, I will attack every element of the glory of God so he cannot get the glory. What is at stake in your life? The reason Satan fights so much over things in our lives is because he wants to corrupt the glory of God. He wants to corrupt the glory of God. But I got good news for you tonight. Everywhere there is shame, wherever there has been shame, I'm not saying just now, I'm not saying just this week, I'm not saying just this year, I'm not saying just last year, I'm saying everywhere there has been shame, all the way back to where you can't even recall, God is restoring glory. He's restoring double for every shame in the name of Jesus. Can you say amen wherever you are at home? He said in this 8th Psalm, "Oh Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who has set your glory above the heavens." This is what was at stake at creation. The creation of God was supposed to reflect and manifest the glory of God. When God did everything, after he created the heaven and the earth, then he took man, who was supposed to be actually the emblem of his glory. This man was supposed to share a little bit of his glory and manifest a little bit of that glory. God created that man, put him in that garden. He said, "You set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, you have ordained strength because of your enemy, that you may steal the enemy and the avenger. When I consider the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man?" What is this man that you are so mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? You made him a little lower than Elohim, that's God himself. You've crowned him with glory and honor. You've crowned him with glory and honor. You've crowned him with glory and honor. Oh, Satan hates it. Oh, Satan hates it. He crowned us with glory and honor. Every time Satan looks at us, he remembers what he lost in heaven. He remembers the glory that was stripped away from him. He hates us because of the glory of God. He hates everything about our life. Anything in our lives that manifests the glory of God, Satan hates it. He set himself against the glory of God that is upon the saints, that is upon the people of God. He said, "You made him to have dominion over the work of your hands. You put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen." This is the Garden of Eden now. "Yea, the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea," everything God put under the feet of man, under the feet of Adam and Eve. Why? Because they were crowned with glory and honor. And finally, suddenly, in Genesis chapter 3, they lost it. In shame and humiliation and embarrassment, they were shooed out of the garden. They were shooed out of the garden. And Satan said, "Yeah, I won. Yeah, I won." But God said, "No, you did not win. The story never ends until the glory of God is restored." The story is never over until the glory of God is restored. I want you to hear me, saints, tonight. I want you to hear me, saints, tonight. The glory of God on your life is what is at stake. And God is determined to get the glory from your life. God is determined to get the glory from your story. Everything in your life that does not give him glory, everything in your life that does not give praise to God the Father, he is committed. He is guaranteeing he's going to restore it. He's going to give glory in the place of shame. He's committed to that, because until his glory shine, the story is not over. Until his glory shine, the story is not over. Say with me, God will get the glory from this. Say, God will get the glory from this. We have not seen the end of this until we see the glory of God. We have not seen the end of this until we see the glory of God. We have not seen the end of this until we see the glory of God.
God is not going to put up and he's not going to be satisfied with half-baked glory either. He's not going to take that substitute glory either. If you don't believe me, just go read the story of Abraham and Sarah. They say, oh, here we are. Lord, we got you, Ishmael. He said, I'm not going to put up with that half-baked glory. I want my full glory. This story is not over until God gets the glory. Shout this out loud with me. This story is not over until God gets the glory. Look at every area of your life tonight. Say, my story is not over until God gets the glory. Now look at the different corners of your life. Look at the different areas of your life. This story is not over. This dream is not over. This family is not over. This blessing is not over. This hope is not over until God gets the glory from my life. And God has declared, he says, he guarantees that he will get the glory out of every area of your life. Somebody say amen to this. Come on, say amen to this, somebody. Back to Isaiah 61. He said, but you will be named, he said. You'll be named, verse 6, the priests of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles. Watch this now. And in their glory, you will boast yourself. I said, this thing is not over until God gets the glory from my life. I said, it's not over until God gets the glory from your life. Hallelujah. Until the picture that God formed from the beginning, until that picture in the Garden of Eden that was supposed to reflect his glory, until that picture is established, this story is not over. This story is not over. He said in verse 7, for your shame, you shall have double. For confusion, you rejoice in your portion. Therefore, in your land, you will possess the double. An everlasting joy. Do you know that the evidence of glory is joy? Do you know the evidence of glory is joy? When Adam and Eve walked out in shame and humiliation from the Garden of Eden, they walked out with pain, with crying, with weeping, with mourning. But when the children of Israel were delivered from the yoke of bondage in the land of Egypt, the Bible said they went singing. When they got out and they got on the other side, hallelujah, of the Red Sea, Miriam started to compose a song. All the other musicians started to sing. They started to rejoice. They started to rejoice. They started to rejoice. Why? Because joy is a reflection. Joy is an evidence of the glory of God. Anything in your life that you look at that does not give you joy is attacking the glory of God. Anything in your life that you look at that does not give you joy is competing with the glory of God. And God says, I'm committed, I'm determined, I'm restoring it, I'm turning it around, I'm changing that story. I'm changing that story. I'm changing that story. Let's talk for just a minute or two here before our time runs. This thing about restoring double. For your shame, you shall have double. And for confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be unto them. Let's talk briefly about this word double. This word double is not limited to what a lot of people think it is.
This word double, everywhere you see it in the Hebrew, in the Old Testament, is the Hebrew word mishneh. M-I-S-H-N-E-H. There are multiple derivatives or explanations or definitions of that word. And just one of them is double. Another one is twice. In the book of Job, Job 42 and verse 10, he uses the word twice. He said, and Job prayed for his friends, and God gave him twice of everything that he had lost before. But I want you to think about this. If somebody has a Bible while I'm preaching, just do a quick search. Go to chapter 1. I think it's chapter 1 of Job. And look there where it tells us how many children Job had at the beginning, before they all died in the fire or whatever. And then look at the end in chapter 42 and see how many children. My people have put it on the screen for me. There were born unto him how many? 7 sons and how many daughters? 3 daughters. Can you find the end? Job 42 verse 12, I think it's verse 12, where it tells us about what he ended up with, 13. Yeah, he had also, this is at the end, he had also 7 sons and 3 daughters. Let me ask you, what did he have at the beginning? What did he have at the end? Well, if God gave him twice, if God gave him double, and that double meant twice, then he should have 14 sons and 6 girls, 6 daughters. Isn't that right? If mishne means twice, double. And then I don't want to deflate your, don't, all the double songs, those are lovely songs. I don't want to mess that up. We can still sing them. I just want you to have understanding here. I want you to have good understanding. Because, God forbid, if you lost your mother in a very terrible situation, and that's one of the landmarks of shame on your journey, but she's already dead, can you get 2 mothers when God restores that glory? Can you get 2 mothers for that one you lost? So can double mean twice of what you lost all the time? No. Not all the time, thank you. Not all the time, thank you. Sometimes it does mean twice. But I want to say something to you. Help me, Holy Spirit, my time is running. I want to say something to you. While I was, and the Lord said this to me, man, this shot up in my spirit. It was a life spring. I said this while I was ministering on El Shaddai and the God of provision and talking about different things. And I know I was explaining one time talking about, and I used the expression, God does not want to relate with you based on minimum payment due. Does anyone remember that? When God restores you, when God restores his glory into our lives, double what we lost, as in those things that can be restored twice, is minimum blessing due. As far as God is concerned, twice is minimum blessing due. That means that's where he starts from. That's not where he stops. That's where he starts from. Actually, this word mishneh, double, translated double, in this scripture and in many other scriptures in the Old Testament, one of the most significant definitions of that word is the word repetition. Repetition. Or some people use the expression again and again. Again and again. That's why I had the praise team sing that song, because he's doing it all again tonight. Because when God blesses you with double for your former shame, what he does is he repeats his blessing again and 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 again. In every area of your life, God wants to go back and he wants to bless again and again and again and again. He wants to bless again and again and again. That's why sometimes restoration of former shame can be triple. Sometimes restoration of former shame can be quadruple. Sometimes restoration of former shame, actually, let me blow your mind, can be a hundredfold. A hundredfold. A hundredfold is not double. A hundredfold simply means times 100. Times 100. God wants to, please hear me tonight. This is where I get too excited and I start preaching and I don't quietly and slowly make the point the Lord wants me to make. Please hear me tonight. The Lord will make your life a spectacle. The Lord will make your life a spectacle. As many as we release faith, as many as we release faith to believe it, to receive it, the Lord will make your life a spectacle. The Lord will come again and again, again and again, again and again, again and again, again and again. In the places where you thought you lost, in the places where you thought you had been deprived, in the places where you thought you ended with shame, in the things where you thought things had been taken away and you didn't have control and you ended up in shame, God wants to come again and again and again and again and again. After Satan thought he took it away from Adam and Eve, hear me, let the word of God, let the word of God stir something in your heart tonight, child of God. Let the word of God stir something in your heart tonight. After Satan thought he won in the Garden of Eden, and he thought, oh, I scored, I won, and Adam and Eve walked out of the garden in shame and humiliation with ashes on their head, God came, and he came. And again, and again, he started manifesting his glory. He put his glory on Abraham. Again, he put his blessing and his glory on Joseph. Again, he took David and he put his blessing and his glory. This is the same one that Satan thought Adam and Eve, they lost it. It's over. Shame and humiliation. God, again, he put it on this one. Again, he put it on this one. Again, he put it on this one. Until Jesus came again and again and again. Until the church was formed. You and I are still an expression of the glory that God is restoring. After the Garden of Eden, he's still doing it again and again and again and again and again. Again and again. The church. The church, if you don't believe me, do a word search in the New Testament, the epistles. Word search, two words, riches, glory. Riches, glory. God made sure again and again and again. Put up for me, please. Put up for me. This is a good spot to do this. Put up for me, Colossians 1:27. If you have that, you don't have the Good News Bible. You don't have the Good News. So, let's go straight to the message. Our time is almost gone anyways. Put up the message translation for me. Tonight, God is eradicating shame out of your life. Shame out of your life. Shame in every sphere, in every place, in every manifestation. God is He's removing shame. God is removing shame. God is removing shame. Everything that does not reflect, that does not manifest the glory of God, everything that creates embarrassment in your life, everything that creates hate, confusion, everything that makes you look like you put on ashes instead of beauty, everything that makes it look like you are mourning, everything that makes it look like you have the spirit of heaviness, God says, I am committed to removing it, not just one time. I'm going to do it once, but then I'm going to come back in those areas and I'm going to bless you again and again and again and again. In the places where Satan thought that he had humiliated you, he had corrupted the glory of God, he said, I'm going to come and I'm going to bless you again and again and again and again and again. Shall yes, somebody, if you believe this. Colossians 1 and 27 in the Message. Listen to what it says. God wanted everyone, not just Jews, everyone, to know this. This rich and glorious secret inside and out. Regardless of their background. Regardless of their religious standing. The mystery, in a nutshell, is just this. Christ is in you. Therefore, you can look forward to sharing in God's glory. It's that simple. That is the substance of the message. That is the substance of the gospel. The substance of the gospel is that God took, he went all the way back to the Garden of Eden, where Satan thought he had humiliated man, where he thought he had taken away the glory of God from man, and God committed to a lifelong plan to crown man with the glory of God. Man must be crowned with the glory of God. You must be crowned with the glory of God. I must be crowned with the glory of God. He's going to do it again, and he's going to do it again, and he's going to do it again, and he's going to do it again. I heard him say just a few weeks ago. He said this a few years before, but I heard him say it again a few weeks ago. The best season of your past is coming back with fuller and greater glory. That ought to make somebody celebrate. The best seasons, the greatest seasons of your past, coming back with fuller and greater glory. Coming back with fuller and greater glory. Coming back with greater and fuller glory. Coming back with fuller and greater glory. The best seasons of your past. The best seasons of your past. We may have to go all the way to the Garden of Eden. The best season of your past is coming back with fuller, with greater glory. With fuller, with greater glory. God is going to get the glory from this. I said, God is going to get the glory from this. Listen to me. As many people as have been affected by COVID-19 or any other assault of the enemy, I declare to you on the authority of the word of God, God is going to come back and put his glory upon you again and again and again and again and again and again. For everything. For every situation, the lie of the enemy, for every situation, the deception of the devil, for every situation, the Lord is going to come back. He's going to put glory upon 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 glory. Say with me, say, I'm an instrument for the glory of God. Come on, I'm an instrument for the glory of God. This story will not end until the glory of God is manifest in my life. This story will not end until the glory of God is manifest in my life. Hallelujah. 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 The world is going to come together and dance with you. The world is going to come together and celebrate with you. Where you used to mourn, have a spirit of heaviness, the world is going to come together. They are going to dance with you. They are going to dance with you. The glory of God will be seen upon you. The glory of God will be seen upon you. That's why just a couple of chapters before chapter 61, he said, arise and shine, for your light is come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon you. He said, for darkness may cover the earth, gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon you. His glory shall be seen upon you. No matter what covers the earth, no matter the darkness, no matter the shame, no matter the corruption, no matter the embarrassment, the glory of God. I'm preaching like I lost my mind, because I think I did. I lost my mind and I took on the mind of Jesus, and I've seen him just put his glory upon our lives. I've seen him put his glory upon my life. I've seen him put his glory upon my life again and again and again. And just when I'm thinking, God, this is too much, he said, I have more glory for you. I have more glory for you. For your shame, you will have double. Double is missionary. Double doesn't just mean twice. It means I'm going to repeat the blessing. I'm going to repeat the restoration. I'm going to repeat the miracle. I'm going to repeat the glory. Shout yes, somebody. Arise and shine, for your light is come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon you. This is your dancing weekend. As I get ready to close, this is your dancing weekend. This is your celebration weekend. After this weekend, in just a few months, in just a couple of years, we will recognize you. You will recognize yourself. This is going to be your glory season. This is going to be your season of double miracle, your season of double favor, your season of double restoration, your season of double turnaround, your season of payback. Ha, hallelujah. I like the word payback. God is going to see to it that you get payback. God is going to see to it that you get payback. You are going to get payback. You are going to get payback. You are going to get payback. I have to bring this to a close. Do you know what was at stake in the crucifixion of Christ? Do you know it was the glory of God? Do you know what was at stake in the crucifixion of Christ? Was the glory of God. Have you ever asked yourself why they mocked him that badly? Have you ever wondered why they spat on him? Have you ever wondered why they jeered at him? One of them, one of the two thieves on the cross, even said to him, hey, you say you are the Messiah, you can save the whole world. Come on, why don't you save yourself? There were many of the people running around, little children, mothers, fathers, soldiers. Everybody was saying, hey, hey, hey. He says the Messiah. He said he was going to save the world. You know, Jesus' death was already a done deal. Satan knew he couldn't stop it. In fact, it was a part of the process. But he was going to see to it he didn't die in glory. He was going to see to it he didn't die in glory. So, as much shame, he put so much shame upon him, to the point where when Jesus, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani, he said, my father, my father. One of them said, he's calling Elijah to come and get him down from the cross. And they, oh, Elijah, Elijah. And they mocked at him. They mocked at him. They jeered at him. Do you know what was at stake in the crucifixion of Christ? Was the glory of God. That's why when he rose from the dead, The Bible says, God, wherefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name that is high and above every other name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Watch this. To the glory of God the Father. To the glory of God the Father. The same knees that were bent upon him, those same knees have to bow and say, Jesus Christ is Lord. The same tongues that mocked him on the cross, those same tongues have to say, Jesus Christ is Lord. The same people who shook their head at him, those same people have to get up and say, Jesus Christ is Lord. Hallelujah. 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 And 2,000 years later, he's still doing it again and again and again and again. Shout yes, somebody. I have to find a good place to close, and I think this is it. You know, all of us, as I close, all of us, I close tonight, all of us have to be clear-eyed and clear-minded like Job was. We have to be able to go back on our journey. I'm giving you an assignment tonight, between tonight and Sunday, because we're going to open up the doors. God said it's open heavens. Floodgates of heaven are already open. We're going to open up the avenues where his open heaven rain can come. Where his open heaven showers can fall. We're going to, with the clear eyes, with clear minds, we're going to go back on our journey. We're going to go back as far back as we can remember after we came into Christ. And for many of us, even before we came into Christ, when I started doing this exercise, it amazed me how far back my mind could go. It amazed me how far back I went, all the way back to my teen years. I went all the way back to my early adulthood. I went all the way back to my early years as a parent. I went all the way back to my years in the ministry. Early, it's amazing how far back you can go. And I went back and I started pulling out areas where Satan corrupted the glory of God that was upon my life and upon my journey. And he replaced the glory with shame. And I started identifying those areas. I said, that one too, Lord. And this 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 one too, Lord. And then Lord said, I'm going to come again and again. And I'm going to put my glory on that area. I'm going to put my blessing on that area again and again and again and again and again. This is my assignment for you this weekend. I want you with clear eyes. Let me read one last scripture. Like Job did, all of us with clear eyes must go back this weekend. Because he said, for your former shame, is what he said. For your former shame. Some of that shame does not exist anymore, and some of it does. But he said, for your former shame, I will give you double, and you will possess the double in your land. We must be clear-eyed, and we must be clear-minded enough, like Job, to go back. Job said, let me close here, in Job chapter 29, moreover, Job continued his parable and said, oh, that I were as in months past, as in the days when God preserved me. He's remembering now. He's remembering his glory days. Remember, at the time that he's remembering these glory days, the glory has been corrupted. He's remembering his glory days. He says, oh, when God's candle shined upon my head, when by his light I walked through darkness, as I walked in the days of my youth, all the way back to his teenage years. As I was in the days of my youth, when the secret of God was upon my tabernacle, when the Almighty was yet with me, when all my children were about me, when I washed my steps with butter, and the rock poured me out rivers of oil. When I went out, verse 7, to the gate through the city, when I prepared my seat in the street, the young men saw me and hid themselves, and the aged arose and they stood up. He goes on and on and on. And in verse 20, he's still recounting. In verse 20, when my glory was fresh in me, my bow was renewed in my hand. Unto me men gave ear. They waited and they kept silence at my counsel. After my words, they spake not again, and my speech dropped upon them. And they waited for me as for the rain, and they opened their mouth wide as for the latter rain. If I laughed on them, he goes on and on. And somebody said, Pastor, you want me to go back to areas of my life where I suffered humiliation that I'm trying to forget? No, I'm trying to make you remember. And I'm trying to make you remember not the humiliation, but the debt that you are owed. You are owed debt for every area of shame, for every area of embarrassment. You are owed debt for every area of pain, for every area of mourning. You are owed a debt. God said, this is your payback season. This is your payback season. Well, how do you know to claim something when you don't know what you are owed? How do you know what you need to be paid back if you don't know? Jesus, the Lord God himself said in Isaiah, I thought I was done. In Isaiah 51 verse 3, look, put that up. In Isaiah 51 verse, he said, we are going to go all the way back to the Garden of Eden. You think God is trying to remember humiliation? No. He's talking about payback. He said, this is your payback season. Put it up for me quick as I close. Isaiah 51, I think it's verse 3. Put it up real quick in the King James. He says, this is your payback season. Is it up there? This is your payback season. The Lord will comfort Zion. Zion is the church. He will comfort all her waste places. He will make her wilderness like Eden and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein. Thanksgiving and the voice of melody. This is your payback season. Everybody stand up with me tonight. Stand up with me tonight, those of you in the sanctuary. If you are with us at home, stand up with me as I close. Let's close this slowly. Let's close this slowly. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. 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 You know what? Just play for me if you can. Play for me that same song, that Travis Green song we started out with earlier. Just play that song. Play very low in the background. This is your payback season, folks. God said he wants to do things, and not in a very long time. He wants to do things that will make you an amazement on the earth. Not for you, but for his glory. God wants to cause his glory to alight upon you. God wants to cause his glory to be seen upon you. He said, your light is come. Your light is come. Your light is come. So then what must you do? Like Job, you must arise. The Bible says in Job chapter 42 verse 10, and Job prayed. He arose and he prayed for his friend. And God blessed him with twice what he had lost. He arose. I want you to arise in faith. As we close tonight, I want you to arise in faith. I want you to open your eyes of faith tonight. In the name of Jesus. I want you to release expectation in your life tonight. Are there areas of void? Are there areas of dryness? Are there areas of shame and embarrassment? Are there areas that do not reflect the glory of God? Not just now. Are there areas where you know the glory of God was corrupted in your past? Are there areas where you know the glory of God was taken away on your journey? Are there areas where you should have been glorified, but you were embarrassed? Are there areas where you should have been able to rejoice in God, but people were mocking you. Are there areas where you should have been celebrating the promise of Jehovah, but the world was crying with you? Well, I tell you on the authority of the word of God, it's payback time. It's coming again and 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 again. God is going to beautify you. God is going to turn your story around. God is going to rewrite that story. God is going to put his glory upon your life. God is going to establish the word that he spoke at the beginning. Again and again. Your days of embarrassment are over forever. Your days of glory are here. 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 I'm prophesying to somebody. Your days of glory are here. This is your payback season. 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 Enda rabakose. Lampere baba suntere akababa. Come on, if you are at home, wherever you are, pray with me in the spirit. Wherever you are, pray with me in the spirit. Come on. Pray with me in the spirit. This is your payback season. This is your payback season. This is your payback season. Pray with me in the spirit. Come on. Pray with me in the spirit. This is your payback season. Pray with me in the spirit. Oh, shatter. Mampa roboboska. Zitelele bobo. This is your payback time. 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 Oh, shataha. Setelele bobos. Glory. This is your glory day. This is your glory moment. This is your glory season. This is your glory hour. This is your glory hour. Shame is over. Embarrassment is over. This is your glory moment. This is your glory hour. He's gonna do it again and again. He's gonna put his glory on it again and again. He's going to put his blessing on it again and again. Again and again and again. Again and again and again. Come on, as we close this service, I sense the heavens open. I sense the heavens open for those who will lay hold upon this two-year blessing. There is a two-year miracle I hear in my spirit. There is a two-year miracle I hear in my spirit. 2 years for your story to be completely different. 2 years for your story to be opposite of what it is now, what it has been. 2 years for the world to gather together to sing with you. 2 years for the nations to call you blessed. 2 years, 2 years, 2 years. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We take it, oh God. We take it, oh God. Every word you have spoken, we take it by faith. We take it by faith. Just as you have promised, just as you have declared it, we take it by faith. Oh, hallelujah. Your days of laughter are here. Your days of everlasting joy are here. Your days of crying are over forever. Your days of rejoicing, your days of dancing, your days of celebration, your days of rejoicing, your days of jubilee, they are here. Everlasting joy is here. It's here. It's here. Shataka Baba. Shantere Baba. We bless your name, O God. We bless your name. As I close, I'd like to pray for somebody. I'd like to pray for somebody who's saying, yes, I receive that word.
I receive the promises of the Lord. But I also know that I've played a role in not cooperating with the glory of God in my life. I've not given Jesus room. I've not made room for the glory. 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 But I want to change that story tonight. I want to change that story tonight. I want to get in agreement with the glory of God over my life. I want to come into agreement with God the Father. I want to come into agreement with God the Father. His glory over my life. I want Jesus to be Lord of my life. Not just Lord in my tongue. Not just Lord in my words. But I want Jesus to be Lord. I want Jesus to be Lord. Keep it down a little bit here. Keep the music down a little bit. I want to pray for someone out there. We don't know where these streams go. We don't know who hears something, who tunes in at some point or the other, who hears the gospel of salvation for the first time in their life, or who hears it for the 100th time, but have decided they want to act on it this time. I want to pray for you. Wherever you are out there, this is a very simple prayer of faith. This prayer will open up the door for the glory of God to come in and to do His work. It begins first, though, with an acknowledgement. Lord, I have not made room for your glory in my life. I've not given Jesus his place. I've not obeyed your command. I've not followed you fully with my heart. I've not done according to your bidding. I've not responded to your invitations. But I want that story changed tonight. I want you to pray this simple prayer wherever you are. And all of us are going to pray together. So we are all together in the spirit tonight. You won't be praying this alone. But this prayer will open the door for the glory of God to do His work in your life. Just say with me, Heavenly Father, I come before you tonight in the name of Jesus. I acknowledge that I'm a sinner and I cannot save myself. I don't have the power or the wherewithal. I've tried and I've failed. But Lord, I believe that Jesus Christ, He died for my sins. He gave His life and died so that I may live. Tonight, I open up my heart to you, Lord. Come into my heart. Come and make me a new person. I renounce my sin. I renounce my failures. I renounce Satan and his ways. Lord Jesus, write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Baptize me with your precious Holy Spirit. I thank you because from today I know I'm forgiven, I'm saved, I'm justified, I'm redeemed. I give you all the glory and I give you all the praise. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen. Amen.
I want you to touch your screen or touch something as a point of contact, or your phone, something, your Bible, something, wherever you are. Everyone under the sound of my voice, I speak over you what I heard the Lord say, that in just a short time, you will receive double for every shame. In the name of Jesus, I declare that over you. I declare that over everything that concerns you. I declare that over those that are connected with you. I declare that over the fruit of your life, every fruit of your life, everything you produce. I declare the glory of God is visiting your home. I declare the glory of God is going to single you out in your community. The glory of God will single you out on the authority of the word of God. The glory of God will make you shine again. Where your shine has been rubbed off, where there is now lack of attractiveness, where there has been lack of favor, I declare over you, suddenly you become attractive again. I declare over you, suddenly everybody's remembering you again. They are calling you from the uttermost parts of your community. They are calling you. They are remembering you. They are remembering you. They are remembering you. Where you have been forgotten, where you have been sidetracked, where you have been abandoned like those desolate cities, they are remembering you. Your file is coming up from under wherever that file has been hidden. It's coming all the way to the top. It's coming all the way to the top. Like the king remembered Haman in the night season, somebody will remember you in this season. Somebody will remember you in this season. The glory of God will speak to their ears. The glory of God will wake them up in the night. The glory of God will whisper to them. The glory of God will open their eyes to see the things that touch you and the things that concern you. Suddenly, you will become the toast of your generation again. Suddenly, you will become a celebrity. Suddenly, you will become someone everybody's rejoicing over. Suddenly, the world will be singing about you, not because of you, but because of the glory of God. Because of the glory of God. Father, I thank you so much. I thank you, God. Thank you for releasing your word over your people. And thank you for fulfilling that word. I give you the glory and the praise tonight. You alone deserve it. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everybody said amen. Come on, say loud amen. Come on, say a loud amen one more time. Hallelujah.